that we exercise in giving thanks. And I don't know if you do that. I don't know if you do that before you pray, but the spiritual benefit that exercises that we perform as we give thanks, as we pray, as we give God the glory in that way. So I don't know if the computer's lagging behind. Is the computer lagging behind? Okay, there's the first one. I know you're looking at me bewildered, but we're going to go through this, all right? Meals, let's go to the next one. Exercise, okay? So Colleen, you're going to have to listen to what I'm saying, right, to pick up, because I'm just putting this all together. It's a good service, and it's a good thing, and I appreciate you doing what you're doing. And I might be going a little ahead of myself, but I want to make sure people get the notes. So there's a spiritual benefit that we exercise when we give God thanks. And we perform this when we honor God for the things that he does within our hearts and within our lives. And we do want to give him the glory, don't we? We do want to praise him. We do want to thank him. God may remain anonymous at times, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't stop us from recognizing the benefits that God gives to us and what comes our way because we give him thanks. When we give thanks, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we are to give thanks in what? All things. Not into some things, not into little things, but in all things we are to give thanks. And I think that's the hardest practice that we have today as Christians, to recognize that we are to give thanks in all things. Though sometimes things happen and we may not like what happened, and you say, how can I give thanks for that? But yet we are encouraged in Scripture to give thanks in all things. In the midst of our problems, there is always something to be thankful for. You can always find something to be thankful for in the midst of your problems. In the midst of your problems, thanksgiving should be something that we express. And we give God the glory, because what does thanksgiving do? It focuses our attention upon him. It focuses everything that's going on in our life on him. And we recognize that God allowed these things to happen for a reason. Nothing happens by coincidence. All things happen for a reason. And we need to live in that scope and have the right attitude. So as we see that give thanks in all circumstances, that word thanks is just littered throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, you'll see this theme constantly running to be thankful, to give thanks in everything that happens in your life. Giving thanks always in triumph and tragedy, giving thanks in laughter and tears, in every situation you face in life, we are encouraged to give God the thanks. And let our sense of thanksgiving run so deep to the very core of our being that this is an offering that we constantly make unto the Lord. It just comes out of our mouths. Sometimes it's not easy to give thanks to God. I understand that. Sometimes it's hard to thank the Lord for things that happen, if it's bad or things are not going the way we want them to go. But you know, a lot of times it's like prayer normally doesn't change things. What happens? Prayer changes you. And when prayer changes you, then it seems like the situation changes automatically. And I think thanksgiving works the same way. Being thankful doesn't change the situation, but being thankful changes you. You start looking at it differently, and you start saying, okay, God, what can I get out of this? What can I glean from this? What can I receive from this? These are the things that we see in the Bible. And always giving thanks is something that's hard to do, but yet if it's something we start learning and start applying, then it becomes easier as time goes on. Gratitude costs so little, but it means so much. Gratitude costs so little, but it means so much. You know, in that word, gratitude is another word? Attitude. Attitude. Your attitude determines how grateful you are. So ingratitude is your attitude. And you want your attitude to be thankful. You want it to be glorifying to God. And you want it to be honoring to him in that way. As we approach this Thanksgiving season, and in a couple of days, we're going to be honoring God in maybe a more special way. Not to say we don't honor him all year long, but yet on Thanksgiving Day, it just allows us to home in, focus in that God's blessings are upon us. He gives to us an opportunity to honor him. And we set aside that time to do that. May we remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The word says, rejoice always. It doesn't say rejoice sometimes. It says what? Rejoice always. So in Thanksgiving, you're going to rejoice. Pray constantly. Doesn't say pray sometimes or pray a little. Pray constantly. And the other thing is give thanks in everything. Why do we do this? Why do we rejoice? Why do we pray? Why do we give thanks? Because the next part of that verse says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not about no one else. It's about you. It's about you. It's not about anybody else. Just because somebody else is not grateful doesn't stop you from not being grateful. Just because somebody else doesn't give you praise for something that you've done for them, that shouldn't stop you from still honoring God and giving him the glory and giving him the honor in that way. So just remind yourself that. Pray. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God is concerned about these elements. And if God is concerned about them, shouldn't we take concern and take note of them? And so I want to encourage you today to do that. It is the will of God, said the Apostle Paul, to do this. I can imagine for so long in the Apostle Paul's life, his goal and his challenge in life and his authority in his life was to arrest Christians and kill them. That was his goal. But yet, in the midst of his goal in life, God got a hold of him. God knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus. God got his attention. And after God got his attention, something happened in his life. His life was changed. He was rearranged in every area, in every aspect. Even to the point that his life was just not changed. But God says, hey, Saul, I don't want you to be known as Saul anymore. I want you to be known as Paul. I want to give you a greater name. I want to give you something that does not hook you to your old life, because now you have a new life in Christ. And that's what happened to Saul. His name was changed to Paul. It's healthy for us to give thanks to the Lord. It's healthy. If you can't give thanks, there might be something unhealthy spiritually in your life. If you can't give God the glory, there might be something unhealthy going on in your life. So you have to evaluate that. I can't. You have to. And I challenge you to get before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm having a hard time giving thanks for what I'm going through right now. God, is there something sick in my spiritual life that needs to be taken care of? Is there any unforgiveness there? Is there any awe or regret? Am I doing something wrong? Am I backbiting or tail-bearing? Am I gossiping about somebody? Am I causing discord? Allow God to search your heart. And when he searches your heart, something happens like a flip switch. And it happens in such a way that you realize, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm not grateful in that area. So there's something healthy about giving thanks. And if you're not, then spiritually there might be something wrong in your life. Let's go to the second thing that the psalm tells us. That giving thanks reminds us how we are blessed. Are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? Giving thanks is a good reminder of us being blessed. And we may not be able to bless God in all things, but in all things we are to what? Give thanks. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge that each of us face in our lives. And God wants to remind us that he does bless us. I thank God for his blessing. If God never blesses me again, I'm going to be thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm going to be thankful. I know God is a great God, and I can say a statement like that only because I know God is a great God and he's a good God. But I don't serve him before the blessings I get. I don't serve him for that. I serve him because I love him. And in the midst of loving him, these are the benefits that come along with our salvation, the blessings of the Lord. When we give thanks to the Lord, we honor him for all that we have. And then we have to be mindful again and be reminded that anything that we've accomplished in life, anything that we have in life, anything that we prosper in life, it only comes our way because of God. It's not because of me or my hard work, though I want to sometimes lay claim to that. Sometimes I want to say, because of the decision I made, or maybe the hard work that I did, I get the benefit of that. But in all reality, I get it because of God. Everything I have and everything I hold and everything I look forward to comes from Him and Him alone. Even my breath every day comes from Him. He could pinch my nostril. You know, He could pinch my nostril. I mean, it was kind of funny that we go through life and we don't think about the volatileness and the vulnerability that we have in our life until something happens tragic. Or something happens tragic to somebody else. And then we start evaluating our lives. We start saying things like, boy, I hope that never happens to me. Or, you know, am I right with God? Am I missing out on something here? God brings those things in our life so we can evaluate our lives. That's why they come. Maybe we need it. Maybe we need to be waking up. Maybe we need to be reminded from time to time. But see, that's the goodness of God. He does that. And if we get too comfortable in taking advantage of God, then what ends up happening, we end up thinking God should serve us instead of us serving Him. And we don't want that to happen. Some anonymous things that I found in a book called Thankful, and I don't know who the author is because it was anonymously put together, but the author said this: if you woke up this morning and were able to hear the birds sing, use your vocal cords to utter human sound, walk to the breakfast table on two good legs, read the newspaper with two good eyes, you are more blessed than millions of those who could not do these simple things. He went on and said, if you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can't attend church meeting without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people that are in the world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep at night, you are richer than 75% of the world's population. If you have money in the bank or in your wallet or spare change in the dish, someplace in your home, you are among the 8% of the world's wealthiest. If you are over 30, either of your parents is still alive, you are very rare. Over 1 billion people are left orphans by the age of 30. If you hold your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed because the majority of people can't do it. And most don't do it. You probably heard of this saying before. If you're happy, inform your face. Right? If you're happy, inform your face. Let it show. Put a smile on. And take that frown away. So I just thought that was some good things that we can look at. The second thing is this. Giving thanks always reminds us how blessed we are. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We as believers in Christ, we are so blessed. The Christians in America, we are so blessed. I can't begin to tell you the blessings that come our way and the honor that we have to live in a country, maybe not as good as we think it should be, but we live in a country where we are able to worship God, serve God. We don't have to be afraid of being arrested or being captured and tortured and thrown into some type of a relationship that we are not a part of. What's happening in Nigeria and the Christians that are getting killed and Boko Haram, where they come in villages and kill the men and take the girls and marry them off and take them away. There's a lot of persecution that are going on around the world because Christians are known not as very confrontational people. We are very peaceful, very conservative in our beliefs, and the devil will take advantage of that. You know that as well as I do. The devil will always take advantage of that. Someone asks, they haven't asked me yet, but they asked other people in the church, you know, why are there rocks around the church? Well, unfortunately, we live in a society today where people like to do crazy things. They like to run cars into buildings. They like to set the building on fire by doing that. So we're just taking precautions to protect you as worshipers. But we know that we do our part, but God is the one that ultimately has to do it. And I pray every day that God places an angel at that driveway, that no one comes into this church property to do harm, to God's people harm, because that's the evil that we live in this world. And we have to take precautions. And I hope you understand that, that we have to take precautions. But we give thanks. We do this because we realize that not everything around us, we're exempt from the problems that come our way. We're blessed. There's no question about it. But we're not blessed. I mean, we're blessed, but we're not exempt from things that go around us. We are all battered or torn in one way or another. And so we have to be mindful that we have to make that a priority to do what's right. We do what we do most because we're blessed. And our blessings always outweigh our burdens. You put your burdens here and you put your blessings here, you're going to see you have more blessings than you have burdens. There was a song that we used to sing many years ago. We still sing it once in a while. But you know, it says, count your blessings, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. See, that's what God does. You start counting your blessings and you start thanking Him for it, your burdens and everything else is just going to what? Roll away. They're not going to take priority in your life because you're giving God the honor. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about those magnificent words where He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food? Isn't life more important than remnant? Isn't life more important than the cares of every day? We have to be careful. The cares of this life will choke spiritual life out of us. It will choke spiritual life out of you if you get involved with the cares of this world. Jesus goes on and says, don't take no thought, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What is there about many of us that we are so consumed with burdens rather than being consumed with blessings? Why do some people are just so concerned with burdens? Now, I know it's a loaded question when you ask somebody how they're doing, because maybe you don't want to hear what they have to say. And you know, oh, why did I ask that? You know, but you know what? We all have things. And all things happen in our lives. And sometimes the burdens we carry are very evident and they show. And if somebody asks you how you're doing, you don't have to unload on them, but you can say, hey, I just need a little prayer. Will you pray for me? You know, again, make it a spiritual focus instead of a me focus. You know, I'm facing something challenging. I don't have time to go into it, but I appreciate your prayer. It means a lot to me. There's just something about it. We are focused on what is happening to us instead of what God wants to do through us. See, that's what happens. We focus on what's happening to us instead of what God wants to do through us. And then a lot of times we become very selfish. And we looked at that last week, didn't we? Trust in the Lord. Lean not onto your own understanding. Trust in God. Don't fret because of evildoers. Psalm 37, we looked at that last week. It's what God can do through us, not what happens to us. Same thing again, the same theme. We are focused on what is happening to us instead of wanting God to do something through us. God, what are you going to do through this? God, what are you going to accomplish through this? I don't understand, Lord, what you're going to do, but I know that you're in control of my life. Whatever is happening, happens. Whatever is going on, is going on for a reason. I may not see it. I may not understand it. You don't know those who are watching you. You don't know those who are looking at your life. You don't know those who are saying, I wonder what he's going to do in this situation. Now, things happen for a reason. Maybe sometimes you become that trophy like Job that God just wants to use to prove to somebody that God is in control of your life and God is in control of your situation. We don't know. But yet, we are people of faith, and our focus is upon God. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by what? Faith. We walk by faith. Let's go to the third one. Giving thanks also reminds us the source of our blessings. It just doesn't remind us that we're blessed, but it reminds us where our source of blessing comes from. What a challenge we live in a world today where someone, somewhere, someplace, government, official, whoever it may be, wants you to look to them instead of looking to God. They want you to look to them and not to look to God. Give thanks reminds us our source of our blessing. Giving thanks reminds us how much God loves us. How much God loves us. How much He cares about us. How much He wants to be there for you. You know, years ago, I was listening to a missionary. My daughter Abby knows her, Deanna Richardson. You know her. We support her. Now it's Deanna Kell. But Deanna, she was telling me how over in Thailand they get their G's and their L's mixed together. And I remember her telling me that how she did a Thanksgiving service with the kids from the ghetto there in Thailand. There in, was it Bangkok? Is it Bangkok? Is it, I think it is. And she was just sharing with me how they get those letters mixed up. And so she was teaching the kids to say Thanksgiving, but because the G and the L's, they can't pronounce it. So the little kids were saying Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving. They were saying Thanksgiving. And then I remember her telling me that, and she's saying, you know, Pastor John, it's not about giving God the thanks. It's about living thanks in our lives. Thanksgiving. It's a living. It's a way of living. Thanksgiving. And we need to live that way. We need to live in Thanksgiving. Though we have Thanksgiving, but it's a living. It's a lifestyle. It becomes a part of us. And truly, that's something that a challenge that we all have today, Thanksgiving. So tomorrow when you wake up, say, Happy Thanksgiving. God's given me another opportunity. When you start counting your blessings, you are reminding just how good God is and how good God wants to be for you. After all, these blessings just don't happen. They take place because that's God's way. That's God's way of making things take place. I mean, God does it. He's able to cause things to happen in our life that will either blow us away or allow things to happen where we say, how did that take place? How did that happen? Because that's what God does. That's what God does. And He's good about that. You know, we teach our little kids how to speak and maybe how to say a prayer. There are many prayers that people say. They teach their kids to say, like, God is good, God is great, let Him thank Him for this food. By His hands we are fed, we thank Him for our daily bread. You know, there's other prayers that kids may pray, but I remember that one that we taught our children when they were young. Still sticks in your heart. You don't forget those prayers. And then as they grow up, they learn that, and hopefully they pass that along to their kids, and then they'll pass that along to their kids. There are some traditions that we make in life that are very beneficial, that helps others as they grow and as they mature and as they become what God wants them to become. But there's just something about giving them thanks. This was the first prayer that the pilgrims prayed that's chronicled in the books of the pilgrims. And this was their prayer. First prayer they prayed at their first Thanksgiving. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food that we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. What a perspective. What a perspective to have when we start thanking God for everything. We give thanks. It reminds us where our source of blessing comes from. That's why we give thanks. It reminds us, and the blessings just begin to flow out of our lives. So there's something healthy about giving thanks. Giving thanks reminds us how blessed we are. Giving thanks also reminds us the source of our blessing. But the fourth one I want to speak about is this. When we give thanks, we are reminded to share with others what the Lord has done for us. What a gateway. What a doorway God has opened for you when He's done something in your life and you can share it with somebody else. And they look at you and say, oh man, they're crazy. Or they look at you and say, oh man, God's done something good in their lives. There's just something about that testimony that when God blesses you, you share it. What an opportunity, what a gateway. And I want to encourage you, look for those opportunities where you can witness. Look for those opportunities where God can use you to share your testimony. When we were at my son and then my daughter, I call her my daughter, but Sharon, my daughter-in-law, her father's funeral, a police officer walked in. Everyone just shunned away from him. Nobody would go near him. They were afraid of him. I don't know if they were afraid of him because they knew who he was in the community. I don't know. But I know how it felt when people shunned you. I know how it feels when people go to the other side of the road because they don't want to meet you. I know how it feels when somebody turns their back on you. I know how it was. And so in the midst of the crowd, I left where I was, and I went right up to him, and I asked him what his name was and who he was. And he asked me, who are you? I said, well, Randy is my son's father-in-law, and I'm my son's father. He's my son. I'm his father. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, well, I've been his neighbor for years. For years. Never got a chance to talk to him. I would always see him. But I never made an effort to talk to him. I'm afraid to go up to his wife. I know they see my car sitting in my driveway. I know they see me out there mowing the lawn. And I thought for sure that living there that I could go to them or they could come to me. But he says this never happened. I said, come on, let me introduce you. And that's what I did. I introduced them to the family. It becomes a gateway, church. Sometimes you got to step out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you got to do something like that to make somebody feel a part or to be a part of something. It's a gateway, your testimony. And then I shared with him how I was a chaplain in the sheriff's department and went on and just shared with him the goodness of God. And he goes, I got to go to church. I said, you know, you're in a profession where your life is really more in jeopardy than anybody else. And I said, having your life right with God is more important than anything. So I challenged him. I challenged him to go to church. I challenged him to get his life right with Christ. You know, it's one thing to have law on your side, but it's another thing to have the grace of God on your side. So that's my prayer, that he'll come to the understanding and knowledge of the Lord, and you be praying with me about that. Our thankfulness provides great therapy for others and for ourselves, but also it provides great therapy for others. Because the testimony that you share sometimes, you never know what somebody else is going through. You never know. Well, God might use your testimony to touch somebody else's life. You don't know. You don't have to know what they're going through. You don't have to know personally what their struggles is. But yet God will touch your heart and say, hey, share that with them. Share that with them. And you share with them and they say, wow, that just shows me that there's a God in heaven that cares. You just never know. But remember, God has asked you to be obedient as much as he will inquire of them to be obedient to what they have heard. In the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus healed a man that was possessed by a demon. And you can read it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. This man was possessed with a demon, legions of demons. And he would cut himself and they would chain him up and he would break the chains. The demons that were in him were very powerful. But when he met Jesus, the demons fell to his command. They fell to his command. And Jesus wasn't dealing with the devils as much as he was dealing with a man. Because what happened after Jesus delivered the man with those devils? He says, Jesus, let me follow you. Let me follow you. You made a difference in my life. You changed me. I want to follow you. And Jesus, of course, he's going around all throughout Judea and Samaria and also in Judah doing these things, doing these miracles. And this man says, let me follow you. Jesus could easily say, follow me. But what did Jesus tell this man? Says, no, you can't come with me. Go home to your family. Tell them how much and what the Lord has done for you. Tell them that God had mercy on you. And Mark goes on and says these words. The man went away and he began to tell everyone in the Decapolis area how much Jesus has done for him, and all the people were amazed. You know, that's what happens when God uses your testimony. It amazes people. Where you come from, where you've been, it amazes people. And they wonder, how could that happen to you? How could your life get so changed? But that's what God does. God amazes people. You know, it's kind of interesting. You can go through the Gospel of Luke, and you'll see three incidents where Mary pondered these things in her heart. We have a society today that's pondering a lot. Identity, gender identity. People are pondering that. Young people are pondering that. The suicide rate among young people are higher than any other time in American history. People are pondering that. People are pondering life, where they can get a job and where they can go. The challenges that are before them can be so insurmountable because they're looking for direction. They're looking for hope. But you know, the world can't give them the hope that they need. The hope they have to get is they got to get it from God. And that's where you come in. You become that bridge. You become that doorway. You become that canal or that channel where God wants to use you to bring somebody to that understanding knowledge of Christ. If you are truly thankful for the blessings God has bestowed upon you, then share them with others. You have an open mic. You don't have to go to some place where they have an open mic. You don't have to go to a TED Talk where there's open mic. You don't have to go on TikTok and do a meme or video or something like that. Just for you to share something. Share with your neighbor. Share with your friends. You have the opportunity to share that. And people will receive that. They will receive that because you're sharing it. There's a personal relationship that you have with them that nobody else in the world can have. Don't be afraid how others might think about your testimony. God gave you a blessing for a reason so you can tell others. God gave you a blessing for a reason so you can tell others. And that's what God does. He does that to everyone in this room, everyone that I'm looking at today. God has done something in your life. God has done something in your heart. It's your testimony. You're not going to be like me, and I'm not going to be like you. It's very obvious. You're not going to be like the person next to you or the person behind you or the person in front of you. You are who you are because God made you that way. And God wants to use your life. He wants to use your life. If your attitude is wrong, He can't use you. But if your attitude is right, He will use you if you're willing to be used. There is something healthy about giving thanks. Giving thanks reminds us how blessed we are. Giving thanks also reminds us the source of our blessings. When we give thanks, we are reminded to share with others what the Lord has done. I don't know if you are a person that reads, but my wife got that book, Teddy Roosevelt, that Brett Baer. There you go. I'll get it right. Thank you. Brett Baer wrote. Called Roosevelt. Anybody heard of that book? He wrote it. We're reading it. And in that book, Teddy Roosevelt, first president of the United States, but before he became president, says, during the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton, some of you might know who she is, but she was the founder of what? Red Cross. She was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. One day, Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her, wanted to buy food for his sick and wounded Rough Riders. But she refused to sell it to him. She refused. She goes, no, I'm not selling you nothing. When he asked someone why he could not buy the supplies, he was told, Colonel, you don't buy this stuff, you just ask for it. You just ask for it, and you'll get it. A simple smile broke over Roosevelt's face. And he went to Clara Barton and says, Mrs. Barton, can I have some food? Can I have some medical supplies? She goes, take as much as you want. You know, sometimes we look at God the same way, don't we? Sometimes we want to buy things from God. Hey, God, I'm going to read my Bible every day. God, I'm going to go to church whenever the doors are open. God, I'm going to live for you. God, I'm going to give this up. God, I promise I'm going to do this for you. We try to bargain with God so God will bless us. God, you know I need this. God, you know I want this. God, this has to happen in my life. I need this job. I need this mate. I need this supplies. And God says, no, I'm not going to give it to you because you're trying to barter with me. Really, all God says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Church, there's just something about that. Asking God. And if God doesn't give it to you, that tells me one or two things. You're either not ready for it, or if he knows if you get it, it's going to harm you. It's going to harm you. He loves you too much. He sees your future. He sees what you're doing. He sees what you're going through. He loves you so much, he's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you. He's just not going to do it. He's a loving God. As the worship team comes up, I want us to be mindful of the fact that the provisions that are provided for us, they're not for sale. All you have to do is freely ask. And freely, he will what? Give. Freely, he will give. Yeah, I know we as humans sometimes, I joke with our kids when they were growing up. My wife would say to them, go ask dad. And if dad says yes, it's all right. I already know what dad's going to say. She goes, well, you don't know what dad's going to say. Just ask him. He might say yes. He might say no. So they would come to me and ask me. And I would say, no. See, I told you. Well, you know, we're humans, aren't we? So we can make those choices. Aren't you good that God knows what's good for us? He really does. He knows what's good for us. You know, the sad thing is that sometimes if we think that God will always give us what we want, then we become spoiled. And then we don't become grateful and thankful. So many times we teach our kids to remind them of their P's and the Q's, right? Their please and thank you. We remind them of that constantly. We need to be reminded constantly of that. We really do. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you think that you can buy your salvation, you can buy your entrance into heaven, I'm here to tell you as a pastor of this church, you can't buy that. But just like Teddy Roosevelt learned, all you have to do is ask. So if you're here today and you never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Savior, you never bowed your head in prayer and said, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins so I can receive salvation. If that's you, without anybody looking around, and you say, Pastor John, will you pray for me that I can get my life right with Christ? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you and you say, I need Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm just here to offer to you something that God has for you and something that God wants to give to you freely without any bargaining chip. You may even say, well, Pastor John, I don't even come to your church. Why? But I want to give my heart to Christ. See, it's not about the church. It's about the kingdom of God that matters. This church is going to fade. It's going to fade away someday. And it may not fade away, but I mean, in a sense, we all are going to fade away. It's appointed unto us to die once, and after that is a judgment. Are you right with Christ? Are you right with God? You don't have to earn it. All you have to do is ask for it. Is everybody in a right relationship with the Lord? Shake your head. Let me see you shaking your head. You're listening to what I'm saying. Yeah. If you're not right with God, please come and talk to me. We're going to feed you today after church, physically, but spiritually, accepting Christ as your Savior. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Christians, don't be ashamed of God's goodness in your life. You and I have been so blessed. We need Thanksgiving to remind us of those blessings and to remind us of the source of where all those blessings come from. And as we go out of this place today, let us be mindful that God has given us each a testimony that we need to share with others. We need not to be afraid what God's done in our lives. We need not to be embarrassed or ashamed. We need to share Jesus with others and to tell others about the love of God. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this song in closing as a prayer. It's a little faster song than normal, but I think it's an appropriate song because it just centers around what I've been talking about. And as we sing that, sing it as a prayer to God. Sing it as a prayer to Him. Give
thanks.
Thanks.
Forever actually is this.